We are very pleased to have with us this morning our brother, Moss of Leicester, and we shall now hear from him the word of exhortation.
My dear brethren and sisters, in the 116th Psalm, which we have read together this morning, the psalmist asks an important question, one which we do well to ask ourselves. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? This question implies that the psalmist was desirous of giving to the Lord something over and above that which was due unto God from him. God's love and mercy had called forth the spirit within him that he would give something to the Lord. What could he give to the Lord? Because of the benefits he had himself received. This same question appears quite a number of times in the Holy Scriptures, in different ways. Saul of Tarsus, when the Lord Jesus had appeared unto him on the way to Damascus, he asked the question, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" In the 6th chapter of the prophecy through Micah, the king of Moab, he asked Balaam a similar question. The 6th chapter and the 6th verse. "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" There was a different spirit in this man from what was in the psalmist. This king of Moab had heard of what the God of Israel had done for his people, how that the mighty Egyptians, their power had been broken, and other idolatrous nations also, their power had gone. If only he could get him on his side. What had he to do? Now the psalmist was moved not with that spirit of a desire to get, but with the desire to give, to render, to return unto the Lord something, an excellent spirit within him. He knew God better than the king of Moab knew him. He had experience of God. He had tasted and found that the Lord was good. How gracious is the Lord! He had called unto him in time of trouble, and his prayer had been heard and answered. And so he says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" He was so delighted. He pours forth his soul in this question, desiring to find a suitable answer, one that should give pleasure unto God. Some think David did not write this 116th Psalm, but whether he did or not doesn't really matter. David had this same spirit within him. He desired to return unto God some of the graciousness which he had received. And he found the answer to the question. And it's recorded for us in the first book of Chronicles and the 29th chapter. It came into David's heart as he considered his own dwelling, his house of cedar, a lovely house, and God dwells in the tabernacle. I will build God a house. He would find the answer to this question, what should he render unto the Lord? By building a house for God, for his dwelling place. And God was well pleased with his intention, but he was forbidden to build. But that was not the end so far as David was concerned. For a good many it would have been. I'm not allowed to, so that's that. But not so with David. His heart was moved by the blessings he had received, and so he thought, well, I cannot build. I'm not forbidden to prepare for the building. And he made costly preparations for the building of the house of God. And his spirit spread unto those who were associated with him. It spread among all his people. And they made these costly preparations, gave these great gifts in the preparation for this house of God. They were returning unto God some of the blessings they had received. In the 16th and 17th verses, David opens his heart unto the Lord and he says, O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee a house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. I think that's a lovely picture, brethren and sisters, contained in this first Book of Chronicles, the 29th chapter. The nation of Israel as one man united to give unto the Lord because of the blessings he had given unto them. It's a different picture in the first chapter of Malachi. As the years passed, a different spirit entered into the hearts of the people of God, and the house of the Lord, the worship of God, became a weariness. The table of the Lord contemptible. And they offered not that which was costly, but the cheapest thing they could find. They offered unto God that which was no use to themselves, the blind, the lame, and the sick. And God said, go and offer it unto thy governor. Will he accept it? And yet they offered unto the great king, the almighty, this cheap trash. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? We all have been blessed by God during our lifetime. We have received many things from him. What shall we return? If a friend does us a service, what's the first thing we do? Why, say, thank you. Thank you very much. That was kind of you. I'll never forget that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. There are so many and varied. so frequent that we're apt to receive them unthinkingly and forget to give thanks to the giver. The psalmist, in that 116th psalm, he supplies the answer to his question. For after asking the question, he says, I will pay the sacrifice of thanksgiving. He would thank God for the blessings he had received. And that is what God commands. And it seems strange, really, when we think of it, that the Almighty should have to ask his people to give thanks unto him. And yet it is so. In the 50th psalm, you will find there that God says unto his people, give thanks, the sacrifice of thanksgiving, because his people forget to do it. And the Apostle Paul had to exhort the early Christians in the second letter to the Colossians. It is written there in the 7th verse that he exhorts them to be abounding with thanksgiving. And that word translated abounding is a very interesting word. Abounding. We're reminded of a little child walking along with its father. It's either received something that's caused it to be very happy, or it's going to receive something. And holding its father's hand as they walk along, the child is skipping along at the side of the father. Abounding. Leaping for joy. And that's the idea at the back of this word, abounding. Leaping for joy. Because of the blessings received, it moves you and makes you leap for joy and thankfulness before God. In the 3rd chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, there's an illustration there of the use of this same word, and it's translated leaping on this occasion. A man never had walked. 40 years he had to be carried whithersoever he went. Couldn't walk. And by the grace of the Lord Jesus, the Apostle Peter, with the power of the Holy Spirit, said unto this man, rise up and walk. And we're told that his ankle bones immediately received strength, and the man stood up. He walked. He leaped. He praised God. And that's the same word, brethren and sisters. He was literally abounding with thanksgiving, because of what had been done for him. His ankle bones had received strength. And how many of us here this morning, with strength in our ankle bones, have never thought to give thanks unto God for that blessing, that we're able to walk, that we're able to talk, that we can see, that we can hear. Oh, there are many, many blessings, and we receive them without thanksgiving? Oh, surely not, brethren and sisters. Forget not all his benefits. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Our friends having done us a kindness, and we have said thank you, we seek, surely, an opportunity to repay them for the good they have shown toward us. But here we come up against a difficulty when we think of repaying God for what he has done. Because if we gave everything we possessed, it wouldn't adequately repay God for what he has done for us. It's impossible for us to do it. Take, for example, that great blessing we have come to consider this morning, the great gift which he has given us in the beloved Savior. There's nothing we can do that can repay God for such a wonderful gift. I think there's a hint of this gift of God in that 116th psalm. I think it was in his mind when he considered this question. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? For he continues straight away, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Salvation is at the back of his mind. And then he continues and he says, precious, costly, in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Personally, brethren and sisters, I've never been able to understand that verse until recently. And it puzzled me quite a lot. How could the death of the saints be precious in the sight of God? It's the life of the saints. The saints themselves that's precious unto God. And this psalmist, he'd already prayed unto God to restore his soul, heal him from this disease which was upon him, save him from going into the grave, dying. And God had heard and had prolonged his life, and he praises God, and he asked this question on that account. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Costly in the sight of the Lord is the death for his saints. Now that makes all the difference. That little word of should be for. And it is so frequently translated in the Old Testament. For. It occurs a number of times in the Psalms translated for. And I firmly believe that the psalmist was considering the salvation. He was taking the cup of salvation. He was not going to perish forever when God in his mercy had offered him salvation. He had given that costly gift. The sacrifice for sin. God was preparing, making his preparations to free the whole world from sin. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth into him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And here we men and women dying and perishing from sight take the cup of salvation and thank God for his costly gift, the gift of his well-beloved Son. What shall I render unto the Lord in return for this benefit which I have received? I think the Apostle Paul helps us to see the answer clearer in the 12th chapter of his letter to the Romans and the first verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I call upon you through the compassion of God to set forth your bodies a sacrifice, living, holy, well-pleasing to God, your rational service. Dr. Young's translation. From our last reading from the two chapters in the second letter to the Corinthians, we have there how that some had found the answer to the question, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? They had taken upon themselves the ministering to the saints, to be a blessing from God to God's people. And what a good thing that is, to see brethren and sisters ministering to the saints, to the aged, to the lonely, to the sick, to the infirm. It's a blessing from God. It's a sacrifice from a thankful heart, which causes still more and still more thanksgiving. And the apostle commends to the Corinthians the marvelous spirit of the brethren and sisters in the churches of Macedonia who had undertaken this lovely work for God. But he says, in addition to that, they had done something first. And he says, They had offered a sacrifice first. First, they had given their own selves to the Lord. Now, I know there are many here this morning among our older brethren and sisters who have for many, many years given themselves to the Lord. And we thank God for their wonderful example to us younger ones. We are encouraged by their faithfulness. And we feel that we would like to return unto the Lord some of the things that they have returned unto the Lord. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Oh, render thanks to God above, the fountain of eternal love, whose mercy firm through ages past has stood and shall forever last. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Like our two young sisters who this morning in effect say to God, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take myself and I will be ever, only, all for thee.